and I went up and I played a tune. So I got everyone to, I said, I know there's no dancing, but maybe, you know, with your fingers, you can do a little jig. So if you guys want to try that out, so get your Bibles or your hand like this and do a little jig. You ever seen the river dance? The Irish thing, yeah. Do you, or if there's any space here, you can dance. So try a little jig. And if you, maybe someone beside you, can have partner, hold hands and do a little jig. So seriously, yeah, get your fingers out. Let's have a little jig while I play a tune. This is so random. Oh my gosh. Okay. It's a good sound, okay? I do know more notes than that. Okay. Ready? Where's your hand? Come on. Sorry. You might need a stretch first. You know, important to stretch. So you ready? Do a little the dance, okay? Come on, I'm serious. Let's see, okay? Okay. There you go. All right. Well done. I should go on tour with some of you guys, you know, like little videos. Okay, so I just got my Bible out. Now, let's take my piano out here, too. Just kidding. That's why I learned to tin whistle, because I actually studied jazz piano many years ago. I went to jazz college, and but then I traveled to Australia, and I just couldn't take pianos around with me anywhere, so I started learning other instruments, so the tin whistle was pretty handy, and I take it everywhere, so not that I play it very often, but it's just nice to play a little tune. So let's pray, will we? Let's pray first. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your amazing grace towards us. Lord, thank you for this church here. Thank you, Lord, you made a way for us to be together in a very special way. Lord, I just pray your Holy Spirit would lead and guide today, that you will be magnified, you will be glorified. Lord, help me to share what you want to share today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So, story time. I'll share my story. And I'm getting a chair. This is great. It's not fair. You guys get to sit. So I don't, out of my own church at home, I don't teach sitting. But I thought I'd be like a prima donna. I want a chair here. So be fussy. So I'm going to have a chair. So why not? Okay. So I'm going to start. I was involved in the New Age. You can say that, but involved in alternative therapies and healing. Before that, I went to art college, and then I wasn't able to continue the studies because I didn't pass my leaving cert certificate. I don't know if I wasn't a good student, basically, when it comes to study and things like that. So then I went on to play piano loads. I got obsessed with that. And I guess there's always kind of built into me, I always knew there was more to life than this. And through art and music is a very good way of exploring alternative realities and things like that, you know. When you meet artists, you can have pretty deep conversations pretty quickly because they see things in different ways. And same with music. I was fascinated how when I started playing piano in a room, it would change the atmosphere of the whole room. You know, you could play a jig like that and everyone starts doing this. Or you could play dun 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 and ooh, things are getting intense. Music is to quote that movie, August Rush, is God's way of reminding us there's more to life than just this. And so I was always drawn to these sort of metaphysical realities. Like that means more than physical. You can't really explain music. Well, we try to, and we can intellectualize about it, the vibrations and all these things, and how we're made up of all that. I was very interested in all that. And I was living, I had moved to Australia, and I was at a festival, a music festival, and I fell out of a tree, and I landed in a river with a rock, and I busted my back. And all these guys came around me and started going, I'm the only one. They started chanting, put their hands on me. I was totally intrigued, and I was high as a kite. Now, my back didn't get better, but it felt great. I was high. I was like, what was that? That was amazing. And so that really kind of was, I was really keen to learn more about that. Then later on, I'm trying to speed up this testimony. I can tend to waffle for 4 hours, you know. So we got question and answer time afterwards. So we have time. And thanks, Brenda. Brenda invited me. We were talking during the break here. She said, you should stick around. There's question and answer time. And I said, you know what, Brenda? I would love to. I'm going. She said, really? You're going to stay? I will stay around. I will. And I said, I'm the speaker. I said, oh. So don't, thank you for making me laugh so hard, Brenda. That was really funny. So, yeah. I can go into more details if you want to as well about my journey. So back in Ireland, when I went back to Ireland, I went to this healing night and I could sense it in the room. I was like, oh, what is that? I could feel it. Although I didn't receive anything, I could feel it. And I was like, I got to study what that is. I found out it's called bioenergy healing. Which is kind of the Western name for it. It would be Qigong healing, which is, if any of you who are familiar, is a Chinese form of healing. Qigong, external healing. And so this kind of entails sending the Qi, as in this life force energy, breathing it in, cultivating it, and then sending it out to heal parts of the body. You would sense the aura. I'm sure you're familiar with that word, the aura and the meridian lines, the chakras, all these things, and would send the chi. You'd be like a vessel for the chi to come through you in order to heal. And so myself and my partner at the time, we went and we found the teacher, and I got really into it. I just loved it straight away. You could feel it, and I was able to. I felt like this was like such a calling as well. And after we finished studying, we moved back to Australia, and I set up practice there in the Blue Mountains. And I wasn't able to get work in it straight away. I did one market in Byron Bay, which is about like 5 hours away from the Blue Mountains was. And apparently, I had healed a granddaughter, a daughter, and the grandmother. And I didn't know this. I was just there one day, and then we went down to the Blue Mountains. And I was working at a place called the Crystal Lodge, and I thought I would kind of get in there and be able to do my therapies there, but they wanted to keep me as a chef. So I was chopping away, and one day I heard this people saying, oh, we heard of this Irish guy, and he was doing this healing work. And he healed this lady. And I was like, I was on the buffet. I was like, that was me, you know. And sure enough, they said, oh, can you do the, they asked for my number. And then I was healing, doing work in Sydney. And the word spread of I got the nickname as the humble healer because I was terrible at business and I didn't charge very much. So anyway, that's another story. So that began to grow and seeing a lot of interesting things, like very strange phenomena when you're in that kind of metaphysical world, very unusual things. Now, I'm aware with testimonies. Like, I've heard this person sharing a testimony about his gangster life, and we're like, oh, wow, cool, I want to be a gangster. Okay, so when you hear this testimony, I don't want you to go, cool, I want to go. No, that's not what I'm trying to share here. So I was intrigued with how far you could really push this Qigong thing, and I heard that you could move people, you know. A bit like, you know, the Force in Star Wars, you know. You can move people around the room. And I thought, wow, I really want to get to that level. That was my big goal, you know. And so when I went back to Ireland, sorry if this sounds weird, everyone, okay? This is the story, okay? It sounds strange, I know, but it's truth here. So when I went back again to Ireland, I moved a lot from Ireland and Australia. I got more and more deeper into the practice. I'd studied with Qigong masters. I studied with Tibetan monks. Guys looked just like the Dalai Lama. I meditated with these guys. I always find it interesting when there was always something annoying me about the Tibetan monks. They were always so gracious with their, you know, their movements. Everything they did, they took their time, like putting a bit of sugar in their tea and. And there was something so, it's kind of admirable. You go, wow. You're just like looking at it, wow. But I never quite understood. It's something, why did that annoy me so much, you know? And it wasn't until later on I realized because they had achieved that themselves. It was, the glory was in themselves because it was their meditations. That's a kind of another, I'll bring that in a bit later on in my story. So I was very deeply involved, and so I would teaching meditation, and I started my own school of healing. So bioenergy healing, Qigong school of healing in County Clare. And I had several locations for the schools and the classes that I was doing. And spending a lot of time meditating and being in the positions of gathering the Qi. And then one day, in my class, something kind of, I don't know what it was, something came into me where it just, something clicked. And next thing, my dreams are true. I was able to move people without touching them. And I thought, you know, I'm a Jedi master. it's a bizarre thing because, you know, these pieces are moving. And it's like, now finally, I have evidence of the power of your thinking, the power of positive thinking. I have, physical proof that what you think about comes about. That you can create your own reality. I had, you know, and then I said, well, how far can I take this? I would do a Qigong lesson on the beach, and I said, you guys stay there, and I'd walk the other, it's like probably like a half a kilometer away, and I'd see if I could do it from there, and sure enough, three people were swaying around, and I could move them from there. I was at a conference once, and these guys, you know, doing their Reiki and things like that. You know, Reiki healing? You're familiar with all that? I just thought that was like, you know, in comparison to what I was studying, Reiki was, you know, you do a weekend course and then you call yourself a Reiki master. I was very, I did a bit of Reiki. I did one course in Reiki and I thought, this isn't for me. This isn't powerful enough for me, you know, kind of attitude. And with that then, so the reason why I'm explaining all these details, I just want to show you the depth of how I went into this. I wasn't a flaky, you know, someone who did a weekend course and put up a sign trying to scam money in it. It was the real deal. Like it was the way I thought. I knew there was more to life than just this physical, and I could see it. And so I lived and breathed. This was a day-to-day occurrence for me. And so one time I was asked to teach Tai Chi in a secondary school. And Sorry, I'll go on with the conference first. I was mentioning the conference. I might actually move this stool. I might stand up after all. Easier. So I was at a conference, and all these other, everyone had different boots, and I was doing my Qigong, and this guy came up, and I can see that he was very sensitive to this. He was very open. And I was able to move him literally around the whole room, in and out, without bumping into one person, and just by breathing. And just very slowly, just like that, just breathing with my intention and my mind and my breath. And I thought, well, this is weird. I'm not trying to glorify this now. Okay, so just to clarify this. The next thing, I was teaching in this school, and you're trying to teach teenagers, you know, Tai Chi. They had yoga classes there before, and so there, you know, the principal was keen to teach the kids something else. I've yet to been asked to do a Bible study there, so we pray for that. So then I was trying to explain Qi to them, what this energy is. So I asked them to line up in a line. And so 40 of them stood there like that. And I said, just relax and breathe. And then I sent the Qi to them. And next thing, all of them are swaying back and forward. I can move them to the left and to the right. They couldn't believe what is going on. Apparently, they didn't sleep for 2 days afterwards. They were so excited. Then they listened to me as I was teaching them. So anyway, very long story shorter, a lot of people wanted to do, as a movie maker, wanted to do a documentary of my work. A few people were interested in doing that. So this was in the card. This was all happening. And I thought, this is fantastic. You know, this is great. And I did have a heart to heal people. Like, I did want to see people better. I did cry for people to get better. To acknowledge, like, that as well. Like, I did, you know, I thought I was doing God's work. I thought I was like Jesus. I really did, you know. And I thought, my thoughts of Jesus were, he's like a chief healer, you know. That was my thinking. He's up there with Buddha, and he's up there with all the famous healers of time. I thought that's what my concept. So I was okay with Jesus, I thought, you know. So also to say then, so with my healing schools and my healing practices, I had spiritual bookshops as well in the waiting room. So as people were waiting, they could browse, they could buy crystals, they could buy the books, the tarot cards, the angel cards, all these things, which I loved all that stuff because it all kind of fitted in. You can kind of merge it all in together into my spiritual practice. And I had a lot of very bizarre experiences with that. You know, and so it was all validating that this is right, this is the right thing. And so what's interesting as well is all of them mentioned Jesus. They all claimed a bit of Jesus as he was one of the ways. You know, the yoga books, oh, Jesus, they have a quote from the Bible. Or the power of positive thinking would say, ask and you shall receive. They would use verses from the Bible here and there because they knew there was power in it, but they were claiming it for themselves. And I thought that was interesting later on, you know. So I was always a little bit open to Jesus in that regard, but I didn't see a need of a savior. I was being a sort of savior, I thought, myself. And so So let's fast forward then when it came to my own healing. So I had, as I said, I had a lot of talk, a lot of hype about my healing schools, and things were going really, really well. I had a lot of students, a lot of classes, but my own personal life with my family and people, there was so much chaos going on. And I was like, well, that's so strange. What's going on? And then my father passed away in 2009. And, you know, I was pretty okay with that because he was in a wheelchair for 26 years. It was amazing, a miracle that he lasted that long. And So I remember at the funeral, I was sharing a eulogy, talking about my father, and I felt this presence. Now, I was an expert of feeling presence, but this was not a presence I felt before. And I was like, oh, and it was so solidifying. It was like oil running down me, around me, you know, just around me like this. And I was like, wow, that's interesting. As I was in this church, and I was sharing a bit about my father. And then I heard people afterwards saying what a great man he was, that he had saved their lives. And there's my father. He was a wheelchair, quadriplegic, no use of his hands or his legs, but with his words and his faith, which I later, you know, learned of, he was saving people. That's interesting. He didn't do any the Qigong movements or any of these things. He wasn't into the Qigong meditations and stuff like that, but he was doing powerful things. And I was proud. And then when I got back home to Ireland, so I was having problems with the family. I didn't do my practice. I didn't do Qigong, any of my practice, for 2 weeks. I had a break just to, you know, to deal with the, you know, grieving with my father and that. And there was no chaos. There was still peace. That energy, whatever it was still around me, which I later know it was the Holy Spirit, okay? And then as soon as I said, well, I better get back to work now, and I started meditating, back to doing the Qigong, back to practice, chaos started happening. Like, literally, the next day, chaos. And within a few months, myself and my ex split up. I had, this is going to sound weird, a lot of psychic abilities. So I knew what she was up to, what she was feeling, and she was sleeping with a lot of my friends. So this was a very hard thing. I shouldn't really say that. You can edit that out. I shouldn't be saying that here. But it was a very hard time, you know. And I was like, well, what's going on? This is crazy. You know, I'm the Qigong master. I create my own reality. How can this be happening? Me, you know, I can move people around the room, and I've manifested all these things. I've seen miracles. I've seen the weirdest of things happening. And I have a master of all that. How can this be happening? And of course, with that philosophy, I don't know if you're familiar with, you know, the book The Secret. You have those books and Abraham Hicks, where they're channeling and all this kind of stuff. I was adopting a little bit of that with my Qigong practicing and thinking about it and, you know, believing it. And so here I was, I thought, this can't be happening. And just, what is happening? And then with time then, I said, okay, I'll move out and I'll get my own little apartment. Just let's have some time apart and we'll figure this out. And sure enough, then I couldn't take it. It was like the devil was allowing me to see everything that they were up to, you know, and it was tearing me apart, tormenting me. Like, it was horrible, horrible, you know, a very, very tough situation. I'm sure maybe some of you have felt that betrayal before. And so that kind of led me to call out to God. I was in, that's an understatement, let's say. I was staying, actually, I wasn't in my own apartment, I was in my friend's house, someone I grew up with, and he had just become a Christian like 2 weeks before that. And he was praying for me. There's always someone praying for you, isn't there, when you come to the Lord? And he was praying for me. He knew the pain that I was going through. And I was in his house, poor guy, and I just lost it. I lost it. It was like, I was like an animal. I was torn to shreds, and it's just, I shout now, if you can imagine me shouting like an animal, roaring like a lion. I just can't take it anymore. And just, you know, just broken in a way, like every bit of power, everything, all that energy, just like, and just only in that crack you see. All my philosophy, my whole worldview, all the everything that I had done, everything. Finally, there was a crack that had taken place. And I just wept and cried myself to sleep. But before I slept, I said, Jesus. I didn't say Jesus, sorry. I said, God, you better send me a sign that's from you and it cannot be from, you know, I don't recommend praying for signs. We're not to do that, okay? But it's, you know, I didn't know any better. You better send me a sign that's from you and better that cannot be from anything else because I've seen signs and wonders. It can't be something that I have manifested myself. Do you understand? So I said, I wanted something that's totally outside of me. Because when you're in the other, when I was in the other realm, I could manifest mad things into being. Crazy stuff all the time was happening. But I was like, no, I don't want anything to do with any of this. I said, you better send me a sign that is from you. And with tears, I rolled and I went to sleep. And I woke up, just before I woke up, the Lord spoke. Small, still. I was always longing to hear a voice from outside. I was always wanting that, you know. And the Lord spoke, and he said, S9, that is your sign. Remember this. And I woke up, what's that? Okay. So, it's bizarre. And so I was like, wow, oh, cool. So I'll go searching through my books. And I'm looking through, I have my I Ching. You familiar, anyone? Any hippies in here? Yeah, okay, you guys know. Yeah, I Ching, the Tarot, the Angel card, Doreen Virtue cards. By the way, she has got some radical testimony. When I got saved, I started praying for her. Now she got saved, and she's amazing. Doreen Virtue cards, and then I had all the spiritual books. I had all the yoga books. I had all the Tai Chi books. I had all the talking to your angels. I had everything, and I'm searching for this S9, and I'm looking through everything, and there's nothing there. And I relate this to, I don't know if you know of Nebuchadnezzar. Everything in the Bible you really relate to. Like, I relate to David. Or I relate to this guy. I relate to Nebuchadnezzar. He was not very nice. So, but in chapter 2, in the book of Daniel, he gets a dream. Nebuchadnezzar does. And then he's rattled by this dream. And he calls his Chaldeans, his magicians and all the wise people that he had in his court. So he's the king. And then he says, I have had a dream and I need to know its interpretation. And they said, oh, yes, first tell us this dream. He said, no. And he's like, huh? No, first you must tell me the dream and its interpretations, otherwise you're all dead. And he was like, well, no one has ever asked that of us, of anybody before. Tell us the dream. He said, no. Anyway, I related to that. It was like, well, what's the point of all of these books? What's the point of all these cards? What's the point of this if I can't get the answer? S9, that is your sign. What a riddle. And the Lord calls me to search. Just this day, and I was like, looking. And I was going a little bit crazy. I lived at the time, was in my friend's house, and right around the corner was Station Road. And I thought, I'm going to knock on number 9, Station Road. What's the sign? Tell me, you know. I was going loopy, like it was like, I was obsessed. What is this? And I thought, well, maybe it's in the Bible. My friend had just become a Christian. And so I go and open a Bible first time. I had spiritual bookshops. I had every spiritual book under the sun except for the Bible. I sold the Quran. I sold everything, you name it, except for the Bible. They all mentioned Jesus. I didn't know Jesus. I thought I was like him. So I open up the Bible and I look, oh, Samuel. That starts with S. And I go to chapter 9. And I don't know if that was where the Lord wanted to lead me to, but that was what it was. And I read it. And it didn't make a whole lot of sense. It was a Chuck Smith commentary Bible. You'll get a giggle out of this. And I read it, and it was about Saul. Okay, remember King Saul? And before he was king, he was looking for these 3 missing donkeys. And his father said, go find the donkeys. You know, And I'm not sure if it was three, but I associated with three in my mind for some reason. Because I went to the house, there was three donkeys right beside me, so I was thinking donkeys. And three missing donkeys, and Saul is looking from town to town to town, searching for these donkeys. And sure enough, the servant that was with Saul, helping him, said, Samuel the prophet is in town. We should go speak to him. And Saul goes, okay. And then when Samuel sees Saul, he says, your donkeys are fine. God has led you here. Now, Saul isn't a great character, you know. I don't live up to be a Saul, but it's always a humble reminder, you know, as well, how easy it is we could be a few steps away from being a Saul. But it always keeps me humble remembering that. But so then the blue bit, the commentary, Chuck Smith says, sometimes in life, you don't know what's going on around you, but little do you know is God is leading and guiding you. Sometimes you just got to relax and flow with it. I'm just hearing Chuck's voice now. Relax and flow with it. And so I took that like as my affirmation for the day, because I used to do these affirmations. So I said, okay, I am divinely guided each and every moment. God's hand is upon me. I will relax and flow with it. So that was my affirmation. I took it for the day. Now, I got a little bit of comfort. I didn't feel great. I was like, okay, well, I guess that'll do. You know, I've got to go get my kids soon. So I took that. I was like, okay, I'll use that for the day. So I drove up to get my kids, and I took them to the cinema in the town nearby. And we're watching this movie, and it got really scary. And my son said, I got to go out of here. I said, I'm leaving. He was young. And I said, no, stay for the happy ending. I was sure there was going to be a happy ending, you know. And then it was getting weirder and weirder. And it was like buttons being sewed into the eyes. And oh, it was a messy movie. Watch out the movies you watch, kids. There are weird imaginations out there. And so I remember just then, S9, that is your sign. I am divinely guided each and every moment. God's hand is upon me. I will relax and flow with it. So I used that and I said, okay, well, I said, okay, let's go. We up and left. And then we get outside the cinema and the kids go, I want a toy from the 2 euro shop. We had this like cheap 2 euro store. You guys got them here? No. Nowadays you wouldn't get that anyway. It'd be more like 10 euro stores, wouldn't it? Everything's expensive. And so me being a cheapskate, I took him to the 1 euro store, which was even closer. And it was, it's raining, let's just get in there. And they were like, we don't want this, we want the two. They were adamant about the 2 euro shop. And let's just get something now. We're here and it's raining. And it's, look, it's not raining. You know, and my son said it again. And sure enough, people were taking their jackets off. The sun came out and I was like, this is really weird. So we walk up to the 2 euro store and within... As we crossed the threshold of the 2 euro store, the rain went like heaviest rain downpour, a bit similar to what we had here the other day. And I was like, this is getting strange. So I'm in the 2 euro store and I'm getting all this stuff because I'm going to be moving into my own apartment. And I'm getting the 2 euro toys, which will break after 5 minutes, no doubt. They're rubbish. And there, right there on the bottom shelf in this 2 euro store is a King James Bible. I'm like, what? What's going on here? Now, I've seen signs and wonders, I studied numerology, I studied all these things, astrology, and usual coincidences were happening a lot of the time around me, but this was different. That was my first time opening a Bible that day. And there's a King James Bible, and I go, dude, I gotta buy it, you know? It was only 2 euro. So I pick it up, and I drop my stuff. I pick it up again. My finger's about one third. My thumb is one third of the way through, and I move my thumb and the page. So like you know, I grabbed it like this, and I open up. And you can guess where it was. Samuel chapter 9, and it was a big fat Bible. All the pages right there. Move my thumb. Samuel 9, and right there, I just felt this presence again that I felt a few months earlier. I was at my father's funeral. I was like, whoo. What's that? I said, okay, God, I asked for a sign that was from you that I could not have manifested myself. You know, and I was at that stage where I needed something more than just me. I needed something that was beyond me, way more powerful than all the power that I had accumulated myself. I needed that. I needed the reassurance. And I said, okay, God, you got my attention. So my friend then invited me over to, oh, there's a prayer meeting on tonight. And there's loads of girls there. I was like, oh, great, you know, whatever. I said, I don't want any of that. But I went along and I heard these ladies praying with such gratitude. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for this and thank you for that person. And they were thanking such, I had books on sale in my New Age shop, you know, The Attitude of Gratitude, you know. And it was good, and I acknowledge that, but I could see it really happening in a very profound way. It was so beautiful. And that really drew me in. And then sure enough, everywhere I went, I was meeting a guy called John McCarthy, who I pastor with now, like random places. And then my pastor, Steve Ball, I was going for Chinese one time, and he was going, and he joined me. And I just met him. And he said to me about Jesus. I was arguing, I didn't talk about my stuff, and he says, it's a well of living water. It says a well. And whatever that word was, it just hit me. I was like, oh, yeah. That's really cool. So I went to a couple of services. I was still practicing. And then one day he said, well, do you want to, you know, do this prayer with me and give your life to Jesus? And I knew, I couldn't lie. I knew he was calling me. I knew it. And then he was explaining to me the gospel. And then he explained, he's saying, you know, as you pray, now, I acknowledge I'm a sinner. I was like, hang on, whoa, hang on there a minute, you know? I'm not a sinner. What is that? And he goes, it doesn't matter. Do you want Jesus? I said, yeah, I do. Okay, let's pray. I said, okay, I belong to Jesus. I was sick of following my own heart. So I decided to give my heart to someone better, and it was Jesus. I gave it to him, so I decided I'm going to follow him, because since he has my heart, I better follow him. And so that night I was in my Qigong class, and one of the classes, expecting 25 students there to show up. And before I arrived there early, and I put my hands up in the air, and I said, Lord Jesus, I belong to you. I belong to you. And I pray, Lord, this class is yours. This is yours. My life is yours. Everything is yours. And I was excited to tell the students and do the Qigong and say, Jesus, and bring Jesus into this. You know, Jesus. Jesus, you know? Yeah, Holy Spirit. I didn't know anything at the time. I was like, me and Jesus, we're going to be unstoppable team. You know, who knows? Maybe I'll walk on water too. This would be awesome. I can't wait to see what's out there. I was moving people around. What's next, man? I'm going to fly, you know, or whatever. This is going to be amazing. And you know what happened? Nobody turned up. I was like, well, what's going on here? This is unusual. What's happening? And it kind of gradually it's like, oh, okay. I can't mix this with it. And it took me 2 months to really clarify that, to really let go. You know, because I wrapped my whole identity in being the Qigong master, being the bioenergy healer, having all the bookshops and everything else, everything wrapped up in that. But now, I had to identify, I had to be real. I knew it. You make a decision, you got to follow through with this. I made a decision to follow Jesus. As I said, sick of following my own heart, I gave my heart to him, I better follow him. He has it. And so, bit by bit, you know, gradually, I had to stop, and I had to tell my students, I'm a Christian, you know, come to church. No one came. They just thought I was insane. They thought I'd lost it. One student, and if you're interested later on, I can send you, she shares her testimony, She thought I was insane. I shared my testimony with her. And apparently, I don't remember, she came into church 2 years ago after, like, what is it, like 13 years later after me praying. I prayed and I told her I'm stopping and I gave money back. And it's funny, when I was stopping everything, the phone was nonstop ringing. I was like, I was about to start a whole new school, a new area. I was saying goodbye to like 25,000 euros. This was going to tie me over for the next few months. I was, you know what I mean? It's mad how I was just like, oh, really? I was like, yeah. Anyway, this lady, I prayed with her in the rain, apparently, on my knees, and she was in her car. And 13 years later, she comes into church, you know, seeking, she needs Jesus, and there I am preaching. It's like, what is going on? I share that testimony with you guys. If anyone wants it, I can send you a link to her testimony. She's a very elegant speaker, a really powerful testimony. She thought, like, is this church going to accept me, this hippie witch, she called herself. She's going to feel judged, but she got the complete opposite. We embraced her and loved her. And I got the joy of marrying her this summer. Anyway, not me marrying her, but married her and her cousins. Officiating the wedding. There we go. All right, good. Okay, so is the Lord going to supply? Is he going to look after me? You know, was what I'm doing. I'm closing all this down. And so I closed up all the shops. I had my own apartment outside. I filled up a whole bedroom and all my cupboards and any other cupboards and other couches everywhere with all the books and the crystals and all the paraphernalia, all the stuff I had. I filled it all up. I didn't know what to do with it. I thought, well, you know, I had it there for a while. And some guy from, it was actually from Teen Challenge, from Tig Lane, said, you can't have this. I had a little sculpture of a Buddha or something like that. So you can't have that in the house, you know. And I was like, oh, yeah. And then you should see what's in the cupboards. There's witchcraft books going on, everything. I was like, oh, yeah, don't look in there. So anyway, I was like, I need to make my mind up. And I'm running out of money rapidly. And, what am I going to do? Well, do I, you know, trust the Lord? I said, well, I know what I'll do. I'll get these books and I'll go to, there's a market, and I'll just sell them off, or I take them to the bookshops. I had a few ideas. Sell them off, I get a, you know, maybe 10,000 or a couple of thousand euros, keep me going, you know, and be able to fix my car and what have you, you know. And I was like, okay, I'll do that Monday. I'll do that on Monday. And I set that all up. On Sunday, my pastor was teaching in the book of Acts. You know, everyone's nodding your head. Burn the books. And I was like, oh my gosh. I was like, okay, Lord, that's it. I got to get rid of it all. All right, so there's these giant bins, massive bins, and on these business. And I filled six of these giant bins. Okay? And I lived on the top floor, five flights of stairs, running up and down, filling up the bins, getting rid of it all. I wanted a whole clean slate. People think I'm insane. I was like, I didn't want anything to do with it. And then I took my car to the NCT, you know, your car test. You guys have that here? You know, to see if your car is good. I drove it in, and my car started going, as they tried to test it to see if it was roadworthy, smoke started coming up inside the car. It was going up in flames. I was like, what's going to happen? It wasn't even past the test to be tested. And they gave me, here's your 50-year-old bike. We can't test that. Let it cool down. Take it to the tip. And as it was smoking, I was like, I'm going to focus on Jesus. And I sent a text out to, you know, all 30 Christians I knew. Just whatever you do, just praise the Lord right now. Hallelujah. And that was what I wrote. Literally, just praise the Lord. He's so good. Hallelujah. So I just took my mind off that and praised the Lord. And then afterwards, I let the engine cool down. I was going to take it to the tip. I get a phone call from my brother in the Lord, and he says, hey, Brian, you don't need a car by any chance. I'm like, wow, Lord. Yeah, well, his uncle passed, but that's a bit sad. But praise the Lord for me. Sorry. You know, he's an older guy. It was all good. Anyway, so I was given a car. I was just like, and bit by bit, the Lord was showing, he's going to look after me. Trust me. Trust me. Trust me. You know? And I decided that I wanted to get to learn more about the Bible and to go study and go to Bible college. And God put that on my heart, and I was sitting on the beach And I was just like, I just wanted to see his face. And then there's a break in the clouds, the sun shone. I thought he was standing right in front of me, but it was just the sun. And I was like, wow. And then I heard a whisper, turn around, there's this rainbow there. And I was like, wow, promises of God. I'm going to go to Bible college. And then I got to meet this guy called Dave Sylvester. My friend John rings me, you got to meet Dave. He played with, what was the famous musician Dave played with? Some famous musician guy. What? You know, the Rings of Fire, that guy. What's his name? Johnny Cash. He played with Johnny Cash. I was like, cool, yeah, I'll go down and meet. I met Dave, lovely guy. We went to pray. I didn't know he ran a Bible college. And I said, I remember we were praying together. I said, Lord Jesus, if there's a Bible college out there, would you send me to it? And he must have thought, this guy is just setting this up. He knew it. But I didn't know. And my sister in the Lord, she said, that's so weird. I had a vision of you yesterday at Bible college, and you were really encouraging. She doesn't come out with these things often. This is a very unusual. So that's confirmation for me. And then Dave was like, man, I think the Lord is doing something here. So I got, he let me go for free. Not only that, he let me go to college for free, and he paid for my flights. So I had to go for week on, week off, because I had to mind my kids in between. Week on, week off, week on, week off for 2 years. I mean, it just humbled me so much. Like, what? It doesn't even know me. And I'm so, so blessed. The Lord looks after us. He looks after us so much. And then I met my wife in college. And that's a whole other miracle story. So I won't get into that now. But let's have a look at the Word. Let's have a few scriptures. I'm not sure. Are we good for time? Are we all over? 10 minutes. Thank you. Just want to look at Colossians. Chapter 1. And we'll just read through a few verses, and a few verses I want to have a look at with you guys. You guys are so blessed with Raph as your pastor here, and blessed with Rick and Peter, these two lovely, stand up Rick and Peter. Look at these two lovely men. I got to meet these guys. Absolute gentlemen. And I love these guys. They're so awesome. So such a blessing. So you're blessed with Raph, and he's a great Bible teacher, and I hope to be a good Bible teacher as you one day. And it's a great blessing. So let's have a look at this word here. Verse 9, it says, for this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed unto us the kingdom of his Son, of his love, in whom you have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. I guess I didn't really explain when I understood I was a sinner. It took me a while to grasp that. And even evil. I actually didn't believe in evil. And I don't recommend this, but I prayed, Lord, I don't believe in the devil. Show me. Don't ever pray that. Don't ever do that. I was woken up through the night. And then I had woken up hearing things in the room. And then the last dream I had, it was so weird. I dreamt of this woman who was a client of mine, and I had done this healing work on her, and she said she had all these entities and things like that, these beings with her, And I remember I cleared her all this and it was gone. And she was like clear-minded. I thought, praise God. I didn't say praise God, sorry. I was like, praise the universe or whatever it was at the time. And I remember she came back to me a week later, 10 million times worse, all over the place, face. And then she had married one of these demons. She'd married them, she said. And I was like, what? This is way out of my realm. That's so weird. And then I didn't know what to do. I says, I'm at a loss. What do I do? Anyway, so I had dreamt of her, and I hadn't seen her in years. I dreamt of her, and I dreamt that she was on a bus, and she was all dressed up as like an alien and like a costume thing. And hey, bleh. And I dreamt. I was weird. And I woke up. I was like, oh, I felt really weird after the whole dream. And I needed to walk up to this cliff area near where I lived, beautiful view. And I walk up, and there she is. I hadn't seen her in years. And I see her at the standing, very close to the edge. And I walk over to her. I said, hey, her name. How are you? And she said, oh, hello. This kind of glazed look on her face. And I remember I said, I had a dream of you last night. And she says, that's so weird. I had written in my diary that today I was going to die. And I was like, whoa, goosebumps. And I said, oh, so gradually continuing the conversation, moving her away from the cliff edge. And then, you know, further away, yeah. And then I said, look, I've become a Christian now. And I love Jesus. And then she turned around, don't you mention that name. Like something came out. And I was like, whoa, this is weird. I had asked the Lord, I said, I don't believe in evil. That was evil. And I don't know if you remember the scripture, if you cast a demon out of someone, if that house is empty, seven more will move in. That's pretty much, without Jesus, it's empty. He is the only one. So we're going to see that here. He is the only one who has the power of all power and principality. He delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of his Son in love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Next verse here. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones, dominions, or powers, or principalities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. Jesus, the preeminence of our Lord Jesus. Beyond any Qigong master or anything we can even imagine. And he is the head of the body. Church. I love it that he's the head. Isn't that great? Isn't that a great relief? It's not us. But he is the head. What a beautiful example. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have preeminence. This next verse then. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself. By him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. What's the cross about? Why did he have to die? In the Garden of Gethsemane, why didn't he say, Father, take this cup away from me, but not my will, let your will be done. The Father didn't say to him, go teach him how to meditate. Go teach him how to absorb the chi. He had to go to the cross. Apostle Paul writes, we see Paul, and I was talking with Rick yesterday about this, and He writes first, I'm the least of all the saints, or least of all the apostles, he writes. He's taken the humble road. But you think, apostles, that's pretty cool to be an apostle, but he's the least of all. And then further in his writings, he writes down, I'm the least of all the saints. And then next he writes, I'm the chief of all sinners in another book. It's like the further he walks with the Lord, the more he realizes the wretchedness of his sin. Yet, Raph read that out this morning in Romans, his love, the all-encompassing love of God. But at the same time, Paul is recognizing he is the chief of all the sinners. It's the worst of the worst. It's like closer he comes to the light, the more his darkness is revealed. And that's a good thing. It's a good and healthy thing. We sing, take me deeper, Lord, and we sing. Let's go deeper into that light. And Lord, let us expose the hidden things. Search me, know me, see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Psalm 139. And it's beautiful. And the cross shows just our need of a Savior. The cross shows how really wretched we are. If this one who created all things were made by him, through him, and for him, dies on a cross, really to get our attention, when we see the cross, we look at the cross, it's like, what? It's the only perfect one. Why does his blood need to be shed for me? It's going to be a marvelous mystery. It's a beautiful mystery. It shows how absolutely sinful we are, yet simultaneously, how absolutely loved you are, that he would do that for us. Jesus came to give us salvation, to free us from the power of darkness, to bring him into his light. But he also came to have a church. One last verse here in Hebrews. Actually, I just read this one out, and then, sorry, Raph, one sec now. Colossians 2. For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea. For as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, attaining all riches and full assurance of understanding. That would be my heart for you guys too. We'd understand to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both the Father and of Christ, in whom are the hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. All the spiritual books I have is a mere shadow in comparison to what we have here in the Word. The Word is, it's basically saying, you have all you need is in him. It's simple. Church, let's love each other like God has commanded that. Dare to love more. Dare to serve more. Dare to pray more. Dare to believe more. Let me just read one verse before I cry. I just love talking about Jesus. I'm known as the weeper. I just weep. I watch movies and I cry at silly things. But it's good to cry at just the majesty of Jesus. Sorry. Where am I? Hebrews. Where am I? Yeah. One last verse. Hebrews 12. Verse 1 and 2. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And here's the key verse. Looking unto Jesus. One who rescued us, saved us out of all sorts of pits of despair. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. That's mad, isn't it? The joy set before him, he endured the cross. What is that joy? That you and I will be here together just in awe of him. That we will be one. One with God, one with each other. That's so much what I was longing for when I was seeking all the new age. I wanted a community that I could just be myself with. A community that I could just be goofy and funny and loving, that would have my back and would be concerned about my needs. And I was always searching for that. I also wanted to know the mysteries of the universe. I wanted to see everything. I wanted to know what life is, what it's all about. And it was all him. And one of my prayers, if you could say, before I became a Christian, and while all the chaos, I remember saying, I just want to be close to the source of all things. As a Qigong master, like the source of all things. That was my longing. I just want to be close to the source of all things. And then I said, I want to know what the greatest love is for me in the world. And I thought it was going to come in the redhead girl, green eyes. I was thinking that. I was like, I want to know that closeness. I wanted that closeness with somebody, that love like that. I wanted to know it. And it came in Jesus. It was him all along. It was him all along. Oh, the love of Jesus. Oh, my goodness. If I could just impart just that love to encourage you just to love him. Love him. He is preeminent. He is glorious. All knowledge, all wisdom is his. He has the power to do anything. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. Hand your sins to him. It's a good thing. Let go of things that's going to hold you back. If you're involved in, you know, anything that may not be of him, let it go. Just let it go. You can trust him. He's trustworthy. He has something better for you. Give your heart to him. Stop following your heart. Give your heart to him and follow him. Let him have it. Okay? Amen.